tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 25th of June 2026 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. It's Thursday, which means we have a special guest with us. Today we have geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rusjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Well, I don't want to alarm anybody, but I think I have been infiltrated by a Turkish agent, very attractive one. I didn't know they were training Turkish Angora cats for destabilization. Very beautiful animal. She's laying right next to me. She can't hear anything because she's pure white, or at least, you know, that's what she was trained to say. So she's pretty active. We may hear her right into the mic at any moment. If that's happening, you know she's been trained. Another MI6 attempt to destabilize what we're doing here. I can't guarantee she won't do it.
Well,
her name is Chubba Purdy.
Chubba Purdy.
Gotta be careful.
Well, so long as she doesn't start destabilizing your keyboard and your mute button, hopefully we'll be okay. And if we hear any purring noises or meowing, we know what it is. It's the Turkish cat. Well, today we're going to be looking at Belarus and what's been happening in Belarus with our old friend Alexander Lukashenko, Lucky Lukashenko. It sounds like Vladimir Zelensky has been threatening him. And we're going to be using globalresearch.ca for our first source. Just when we thought the Kiev regime couldn't possibly become a more destabilizing force, its frontman Zelensky started threatening Belarus with war, as if a series of recent mass terrorist attacks on Russian civilians were not enough. The Kiev state not only failed to explain why it attacked a bus packed with Belarusian nationals, including children, but also keeps threatening to attack Minsk. Emboldened by the US, EU, NATO's direct participation in massive drone strikes on Russian civilian infrastructure, primarily oil depots and refineries, the Kiev regime keeps escalating, not only with Russia, but virtually all of its neighbours. In reality, it is perfectly clear that these attacks are not the work of Kiev alone, as the Western military-industrial complex is heavily involved. Namely, American AI giants in the making directly participate in terrorist actions against Russia as their AI models and networks control drones and other unmanned systems. For Washington, D.C., the goal is entirely strategic, to exhaust the Russian economy and make it impossible to export oil, gas, and their derivatives. The damage they have dealt so far is certainly noticeable, but it is still quite far from a strategic defeat of Russia, the narrative pushed by mainstream propaganda. However, it is enough to give Zelensky the illusion that he can go around attacking his neighbours. He's effectively trying to blackmail Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko, threatening attacks out of Ukraine if it fails to dismantle the air defence radar array along its southern border. On June 19th, in his usual PR victories fashion, Zelensky even gave Lukashenko a deadline, demanding that he immediately remove Russian military equipment and threatening Minsk to do so within a week or else. Obviously, Belarus is not amused by such theatrics, to put it mildly, especially after NATO and the Kiev state drones attacked its citizens in Russia last week. I think a week is enough for him to do that. If he doesn't do it, we will, Zelensky threatened. adding Russia will keep pushing him further into this war. But Lukashenko now understands that Ukraine will respond. I mean, it's quite sickening, really, to go bombing like a civilian bus full of Belarusian school children and then to carry on making threats against Belarus. And has Lukashenko responded to these threats at all? Has he made any public statement about the bus that we should know about, Matt, or anything like that?
It's not just that she's a Turkish agent, but she's deaf and therefore her meows are loud. Anyway. This is pure delusion from Kiev. In my book on the topic, which, you know, you could click on right on Radio Albion and get it. I go into some detail about his mental, the mental condition, Zelensky's mental condition. He is a, you know, he does, drugs. He does cocaine. You know, he doesn't sleep much. But this is essentially what happens. It's been happening for the last year or so. What's left of his high command tells him what he wants to hear. And sometimes he goes into these rages because he finds out they're just telling him what he wants to hear. You know, Zelensky has no idea what a battlefield is. He doesn't know what a strategic radar repeater is. If you put a pistol to his head, you know, but it's bizarre how the media is back to the Russia's losing the war thing again. I can't believe it. Now, I titled this threatening Alexander Lukashenko is a bad idea, and it's always a bad idea. Partially because he's very popular, always has been. And it's a successfully – it's a first world country – or really a second world country, a wealthy second world country now. He is a social nationalist. He was never a member of the Communist Party. And his response has been measured. He's not quite sure, not so much what Zelensky's going to do. He's also worried about Poland. This will come up a little bit later. I deal with it in my book, too. Once Ukraine runs out of men, it looks like, I'm not predicting anything, Poland will then be drained of men. But that's a big if. That's a possibility. And so, you know, I've always held Belarus to be what Ukraine should be. An independent country with very close relations with Russia. You know, I think that's how it should be. I don't know how Zelensky has been overthrown by now. I don't know if they just assume that the generals who do so are going to be shot and killed by Mossad or something like that. But the fact that he's going around making threats without any resources, you know, he's swaggering. He's like a little kid, you know, in a bar pretending to be a tough guy and everyone going along with it. There's nothing, you know, he has nothing to carry out these threats. We know that his killed in action is over 2 million now. And that he has no conception of what that means. He doesn't, you know, being a Jew, he doesn't care. And whatever elite forces he ever had are long gone. And he's reliant now on promises of NATO, infantry, which is not exactly a threat to Russia. And mercenaries, and of course, untrained locals who don't want to be there. I'll say it again. Russia is a premier military force on the planet. They're battle-hardened. All the kinks in their system have been all ironed out from the very beginning. Some kinks in the early parts of the war. The general staff runs like a machine. And the only people really who pay are the Ukrainian infantry and Ukrainian people as a whole. Vladimir, he is Zelensky and the U.S. and the media have totally normalized terrorism. Of course, this was a Ukrainian attack. It was a Ukrainian weapon that they use all the time. They've normalized outright terrorism, including against children. And somehow this was supposed to get Lukashenko's attention. And the only thing it's done is anger small, you know, Belarus is about the size of Kansas, but highly patriotic, Orthodox country, with a strong, small but strong military force, certainly could defeat Ukraine at any moment. I'm just shocked at the swagger that Zelensky has. He is delusional. I don't know if that's just a metaphor or he actually really is delusional. But of course, we also see with the AI giants that the West has programmed this. The West has actually done this for him. So even though Ukraine has been defeated 1,000 times on the battlefield, Russia is hated so much by the neocons in Washington and London that they're just going to keep the war going no matter what they have to do. And I hope to God they don't use Poland the same way that they used Ukraine.
Well, hopefully that won't happen. I mean, I can remember when first off we had that Maidan revolution, and at conferences, nationalist conferences over here in Britain, there were people that were sort of canvassing for people to go out and fight in Ukraine against the Russians. I mean, this was before this war started. When I was over in Latvia and Lithuania, there were young nationalists out there as well that knew people that were going over there to fight against the Russians. So there was, it's not out of the question that the Poles would go over there and possibly voluntarily. As I say, these Latvians and Lithuanians, they were voluntarily going. There were people voluntarily, or they were trying to get people to go voluntarily from Britain to go over there. I remember going to, I think it was a Heritage and Destiny conference, and there was a person there that had just come back from the battlefield, as it were. And it was being called a battlefield back then. This is a long time before Russia actually went into Ukraine, and they were trying to get people to go over there. There was a group, I think they were called the Misanthropic Division. This is when people were talking about Azov Battalion and how they're all hardcore National Socialists over there, and we should go over there and fight alongside them. And, you know, I've always been of the opinion that it's similar to ISIS. When they got ISIS, they sent ISIS over to Libya and into Syria, and they were canvassing to get Muslims to go and fight against Gaddafi and fight against the Saad in Britain. And it as well as going against their enemies, it was also a way, I think, of getting rid of the extremist-minded Muslims from Europe, send them over to Syria. And I think they were doing the same thing, trying to get rid of the extremist-minded white nationalists in Europe by sending them over to fight against Russia. So, I mean, you might even see people voluntarily going from Poland if they haven't already, Matt. Do you make a comment on that?
Yeah, I have the feeling that because there's a similarity in language, a lot of the volunteer, they can volunteer all they want. They're going to be killed. The supplies simply aren't there. I've read so many soldier stories. They don't really have much to send out there. And you know, the Russians have total freedom of movement and are well supplied and are, you know, they're they can rotate in and out. They go have fun. You know, you're not going to have a great time of it. You know, the equipment is vaporized the minute it hits Ukrainian territory. You know, there's no air support, minimal medical. And this is one of the reasons that their killed in action number is so high, is the total lack of medical. And go have fun. I think a lot of people who claim to have been there might be, I don't know, might be full of it. Stolen valor nonsense. As far as I'm concerned, these aren't nationalist groups. You're not a nationalist group who's working for a Jewish state who wants to become a part of the EU. That's utter nonsense. And most of these groups have been destroyed long ago. Anyway, much of their leadership was trained in Israel. So, and some of their leaders actually defected to the Russian side. Again, my book has all of this in great detail, painful detail, actually. But with all this, the main group of people who pays and suffers the ordinary Ukrainian population.
Well, there's this mentality that Russia is still communist and you're fighting against communists by going out there and you're on the side of the Nazis. But as you say, the so-called Nazis are trying to join the European Union. But then there is this argument that even if they're part of the European Union provides more freedom of speech for them than Russia does. And I just don't think that's true. I mean, you do get severe clampdowns on, like, Rock Against Communism. There's a band, I momentarily forget their name, in Russia, and they were hounded so much by the secret police that they had to stop meeting. They couldn't even meet together as a band. But then if you look at the literature, sort of literature that they put out, I mean, it's openly violent, which they certainly would never get away with in the European Union. So even though there is this clampdown on white nationalists in Russia, you know, you get the same in the European Union. Essentially, it comes down to you've got a group that wants to join the European Union, Ukraine, fighting against essentially civic nationalists, traditionalists, which is Russia. So I think you can see from that, you know, why you shouldn't really go over and fight for Ukraine. Let's carry on with the notes here. Well, Zelensky claims that the Belarusian army adjusts fire on our people. And I guess what he means there is that maybe Belarus is helping to identify the targets or helping with the targeting, the weaponry that gets used in Ukraine. And that today, Belarus is one of the key suppliers for the Russian army. Such claims make little sense, as Minsk doesn't really need to do anything. Namely, the Russian military never left Belarus and has been formally present in the country since 1991. So I'm guessing that it's all Russian military equipment there anyway. It would seem that the Kiev state is trying to drag Minsk into a wider war, presumably to destabilize Belarus politically and by extension Russia. During the last 4 years of the Russo-Ukrainian war, cross-border incidents between the Kiev regime and Minsk have been relatively rare. However, emboldened by his Western overlords, Zelensky obviously wants to escalate the NATO-orchestrated Ukrainian conflict. This could potentially degenerate into a wider regional war, particularly because the US-led political West still controls the Kiev state forces, most of all its unmanned component. The EU and NATO have heavily militarized virtually all of its member states along the western borders of the former Soviet Union. This is especially true for Poland and the Baltic states, all of which are effectively direct participants in the NATO-orchestrated Ukrainian conflict. Namely, Warsaw, Vilnius, Riga and Tallinn allow the Kiev regime to use their airspace to attack Russia. Or should we say it is far likelier that they also direct them in coordination with the Pentagon and or Brussels. In practice, this means that Belarus would be in an even greater danger as it is effectively surrounded by NATO and Western puppet regimes on all sides, but its eastern border with Russia. Perhaps this is why Belarusian civilians are being targeted. Namely, if Minsk directly responds to this NATO-Kiev regime terrorism, the mainstream propaganda machine would undoubtedly present it as yet another unprovoked aggression by the evil Russians and Belarusians. And it is very hypocritical of Zelensky to say that Belarus should not be helping Russia in any way when, as you see here, you got Warsaw, Vilnius, Riga and Tallinn that are all helping Kiev. Also, they're all neighbours of Belarus as well. Belarus sort of sticks out there on its own. What are your thoughts on this, Matt?
Well, when you do research on this, whether it be in Russian, Ukrainian, or English, there seems to be this, or especially English, there seems to be this idea that Belarus isn't doing anything, that they're not on high alert or anything, and that's simply not true. Belarus has an elite military, a high-tech military. Again, this is a fairly wealthy society, thanks to the fact that the privatization of the 90s was stopped. It's been resupplied. They're now armed to the teeth, as the slogan is, which you can't say about NATO. NATO is a paper tiger. I think even within the general staff in places like Poland, there is no real interest in warfare against either one of these countries. Just because Belarus is small and landlocked doesn't mean they're an easy target. Belarus has been totally resupplied. from Russia, states in Central Asia, both in the air and on the ground. The new reconnaissance vehicles, orbital artillery fire control, and they have the full anti-UAV system there from Russia and a few other places that they have contracts with long ago. The media is trying to say that their infantry is no more than 15,000 men, which is absurd. Earlier in this year, and I went to the Belarusian Ministry of Defense, and the official number is 72,000. And there is a draft now, and it's a fairly patriotic place, not to mention they have their contract soldiers as well. And there's a conscription quota every year, not to mention territorial defense, which Ukraine also had and burned through. Their combat readiness inspections have been stepped up over the last couple of years. They're in very, very good shape. And furthermore, Belarus has a very large special forces set of brigades. These are the men who have been sent to seal the border between Belarus and Ukraine. Ukraine doesn't have any of this anymore. But to think that they're not doing anything, that they're this small, weak country that does what Russia tells them, is nonsense. It is an independent country because of Lukashenko. It doesn't do whatever Russia says. Sometimes they disagree. But they are armed to the teeth. They're ready for any of this. And with Russian assistance, they could take on anybody. And I really doubt, and I know in my book, I go on, the general staff in Poland is deeply divided about this. Taking on these countries is a really bad idea, since no Polish soldier has any combat experience. Russians are battle-hardened. This is a really, really bad idea. And going after kids here and expecting nothing to happen. What do you think Belarus has been doing since this war started? Or since Ukraine's been the way it's been, it's not been doing anything. It's been rearming. It knows exactly what needs to be done. Their air force is small but definitely elite. I read one place where they don't have any issue concerning drones or either anti drones or a drone. They have their own drone factories there. They're building them as well as building anti drone equipment. So people are just kind of saying whenever they want due to Johnson's law, and there's really no one to say otherwise. But there's absolutely nothing really Zelensky can do except kill kids. And the fact that he's doing this, I don't know how that man has any support anywhere. I'm telling you, we've said it before, I'll say it again, the army has to finally overthrow this lunatic and take over and end this.
Well, that's the only way that it can happen, really, isn't it? He's not going to give in, and his backers aren't going to give in, and he's getting increasingly more and more crazy, as you say. I mean, it could be likely that he's delirious, but he is certainly getting more and more crazy. And I think if he did actually have an election, I think he would certainly be voted out. So he's not going to have an election. I mean, the only option there is if the military stage a coup. Well, Minsk is certainly not keen on going to war, but it will have no choice if the West decides to escalate. Launching terrorist attacks against Belarus is a patently bad idea. While the frontman Zelensky tried to threaten Minsk, President Lukashenko made his own promise, saying that the Kiev regime is trying to drag Belarus into the NATO-orchestrated Ukrainian conflict and that it will have to pay dearly for that. Ukraine is feeling more confident of late as its long-range drones have made the Moscow area, as well as dozens of oil refineries across the country burn. A major incident just unfolded due to a Ukrainian drone strike on Belarusian civilians, a clear act of terrorism. The Belarusian Foreign Ministry said Thursday that it summoned a senior Ukrainian diplomat to protest a deadly drone strike on a bus carrying a Belarusian youth soccer team. Belarusian and Russian authorities accused Ukraine's military of targeting the vehicle as it travelled through Russia's western border region of Bryansk on Wednesday. A woman accompanying the team was killed, and six others, including four teenagers, were wounded. Following the incident, federal investigators in Russia launched a terrorism probe. Russia's foreign ministry denounced the attack as another monstrous crime. Ukraine, for its part, has rejected that its forces were behind the attack, dismissing the whole incident as a provocation and suggesting a false flag or manufactured event. Belarusian and Russian authorities accused Ukraine's military of targeting the vehicle as it travelled through Russia's western border region of Bryansk on Wednesday. A woman accompanying the team was killed, and six others, including four teenagers, were wounded. So they're saying, oh, it was a false flag. So what, Belarus is going to bomb its own bus full of school children to give it an excuse to say, we're not going to attack Ukraine and we're not going to be dragged into the war? I mean, it doesn't make sense that it's a false flag. And it just, it's a bit of a silly thing to say, I would have thought. And what do you make of what happened here, Matt?
This kind of attack is fully on brand for Ukraine. They've been engaged in terrorist actions. That is to say, actions that affect, that mostly affect civilians, because there's no other way. In Chechnya, destroying the dams in southern Ukraine, Chechnya, I apologize. I mean, Crimea. Attacking the bridges and attacking civilian targets in these places that Ukraine wants back. Yeah, what does that mean? What's going to happen when they actually, if they actually do get it back, which is that that's never going to happen? You know, that's why Russia's there in the first place. It's obviously they don't care about winning hearts and minds. It's very obvious. I mean, Ukraine's been doing this for a long time. And as Ukraine is more or less a colony of the U.S., more so than NATO, the U.S. does bear a great degree of responsibility here. But killing kids, this is typical. Israel does it every day. You know, this is what liberal democracy is today. Lukashenko is not the type of man, and Belarus is not the type of country to be threatened this way. And the fact is that Ukraine doesn't have the wherewithal to attack Belarus in any way. They are completely exhausted. They've lost this war in every way. And this is being artificially maintained through just a constant draft and mercenaries. And it's still, I'll say it again, it still shocks me how the military gets shuffled every once in a while, probably because they worry about a coup. But anyone who does it in Kiev is going to be very, very, very popular and very fast. This is perfectly normal for Ukrainians to do this. I love how false flags are perfectly legitimate when it comes to Russia. But if we say it in America or in Britain, where we're considered nuts, they said the same thing about the oil pipelines. You know, oh, Russia blew up its own. It's so absurd. It's almost like they're seeing how stupid they can get before they're exposed. I don't know how many people buy any of this. Clearly, it was a Ukrainian attack. They can't do anything else but kill kids. And Putin has to redouble his efforts. He never wanted to start attacking, you know, power stations and stuff like that. He never wanted to do that. Most of that stuff was built by Russia anyway. But he has no choice now. And his intelligence has to start penetrating the high command and trying to get Ukraine out of this that way.
Getting back to the notes here. For the first time in a long while, Belarus has again found itself at the center of the Ukraine conflict. For more than a month, Volodymyr Zelensky has been warning Ukrainians about a supposed threat from the north. Minsk, he claims, is preparing to enter the war, and he has even threatened Lukashenko with either a preemptive strike or a kidnapping in the style of Nicolas Maduro. The rhetoric has now reached the point where Zelensky has ordered preparations for the circular defence of cities in Ukraine's northern regions, including Kyiv itself. Meanwhile, French President Emmanuel Macron has called Lukashenko for the first time since 2022, apparently to persuade him not to enter the conflict. The problem is that nothing is visible is happening on the Belarusian side of the border. There is no mobilization and no unusual concentration of Belarusian forces and no redeployment of Russian units. The more obvious question is why Lukashenko would want to join the military operation at all. Such a move would be wholly out of character for him and would run against the geopolitical role he has tried to carve out for Belarus. Lukashenko has always sought to preserve room to manoeuvre, and he kept doing so after 2020 when he became de facto persona non grata in the West, and even after the conflict escalated in 2022. In the Ukrainian crisis, Belarus has remained largely a passive observer, and that arrangement has suited Moscow. For Russia, he is a valuable diplomatic asset, not a military one. A repeat of the February 2022 thrust towards Kiev may sound tempting in theory. Perhaps Zelensky is preparing to strike Belarus first, overthrow Lukashenko, and open a second front against Russia. His pointed invitation to the fugitive opposition leader Svetlana Tikhanovskaya gives this theory a certain surface logic, but the military reality makes it deeply implausible. Svetlana Tikhanovskaya, we did a podcast on her at the time. The EU, yeah, the EU talk about her as if she's the first lady of Belarus and she's the real president. It's absolutely ridiculous, this feminist. So, I mean, he's probably just doing that just to gain brownie points, so I would suggest, with the EU for talking to her. He certainly hasn't got the military capability of toppling Lukashenko. Any other thoughts here about this, Matt?
Oh, my God. It's just projection. This is precisely what may happen to him. Now, where the West got the idea that Lukashenko wanted to do anything to Ukraine other than support the Russians, of course they will. But this is one of these examples where they're saying that Belarus has done nothing. That is simply not true. RT is wrong on this one. I have a whole list of things here. They're building up of airfields and special forces and you know, new armor and things like this, new territorial defense units coming up, increasing the size of the military, bringing in new materiel from different parts of the world, especially Russia. So I don't know. I have no idea what he's talking about here, what the author is talking about here. But for him to think, you know, I think he saw the Maduro operation. He got excited like a kid. He probably hadn't slept in 3 days. And said, "Oh, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do over there." So he ran over to the American embassy, and he said, "Oh, I got an idea." And oh, here he is. All right, yep, we'll do it. We'll do it. Okay, goodbye. And that's probably what was probably what I could picture that very easily. He's got to be absolutely exhausting. He doesn't have the men. He doesn't have the forces. He doesn't have the money. He has nothing to do anything that he's threatening. Belarus does, but you mentioned before about elections. I think if any man ever had negative popularity ratings, it would be Zelensky. Zelensky's presidential powers ran out, remember, 2 years ago. If you remember back in the 90s, Boris Yeltsin, I think his highest estimate popularity was like 6%, and he won the election. Obviously, the whole thing was rigged. It's going to be blatant. Whatever they do over there, if he gets more than 2%, it's a rigged election. I think when you were away, we spoke of a few other candidates that the West had. That boxer, I forget his name now, the mayor of Kiev to possibly replace him. But everything that he, you know, Zelensky rules at least Kiev. In the military high command with a small group of Jews, maybe a dozen, maybe a little more, and a handful of those oligarchs in Kiev. That's the ruling cult. And they're back and forth to the American embassy. And it's getting to the point now where, you know, you have Donald Trump who doesn't have the ammunition anymore, doesn't have the weaponry anymore, and really wants to start talking about China more than anything else. Now that the Israeli war allegedly is over, and switch whatever they have over there. And people are just so sick of Zelensky at this point, making these threats. I could just see Lukashenko rolling his eyes. What the hell are you going to do? You know, everything that you had that the West built for you has been destroyed. You have nothing left. You have no, you know, how can you have a kidnapping without any air power? I have top-notch air defense equipment. Again, Belarus is a wealthy, what we would call first world country, technically would be second world, but it's a wealthy first world country, very scientific. It's been very peaceful. He has kept out of it, but he has assisted Russia in the war in any way he could. They're even talking about bringing Lukashenko over to the West for the first time, maybe eliminating sanctions. But if I know anything, I've been writing about Lukashenko for 20 years now. If I know anything about the man, he's not going to buy it. He's going to realize it's just all bribery. He's not going to take it. Sanctions mean nothing to him. He doesn't trade with the U.S. His trade is all points east. But they're going to do everything they can. You know, it seems that the West treats their enemies like Saddam Hussein's Iraq. You know, they were able to penetrate that high command. They were able, you know, it's a very different story. They treated Iran the same way. And it's simply not the case here. I think if the casualty numbers were ever publicly known, then they'd be highly censored. I know what they are. But if they were ever publicly known in Ukraine, because the media is so tightly controlled, I think you would have a coup at that point. What general wants to send his boys to almost certain death, either in the air or on land? That's exactly what's happening here. So I think he's just an excitable kid, Zelensky is, who just runs to the American embassy with a new idea that he's no way he could possibly carry out. He's got to be exhausting to deal with.
Yeah, I can just see him right now calling for America to kidnap Lukashenko in the same way they kidnapped Maduro. First off, though, they would have to create or fabricate some kind of crime that Lukashenko had committed. I suppose they could go after him for so-called election fraud or something. I'm sure they could make something up, which is probably what he's asking them to do. Well, the Ukrainian armed forces' last major offensive operation was the incursion into Russia's Kursk region. To mount it, Kiev gathered around 30,000 troops, weakening its position in the Donbass and losing large areas there as a result. Even then, the operation failed to produce a decisive strategic outcome. A serious attack on Belarus would require far more resources, nor would it make any strategic sense. Any escalation with Belarus would risk creating another 800-mile front, stretching across Ukraine's northern flank with direct threats to Kiev. Zelensky began to raise the alarm just as relations between Minsk and Washington showed signs of thawing. In March, the US eased sanctions on Belarus, and Washington spoke of reopening its embassy. There was even talk of a possible Lukashenko visit to America and a meeting with Donald Trump. For Kiev, this is dangerous because Zelensky may fear that the eloquent Belarusian leader could charm Trump and persuade him to increase pressure on Ukraine to bring the conflict to an end. Lukashenko might also secure further sanctions relief, potentially turning Belarus into a hub for the transit of American goods to Russia. From Kiev's point of view, that scenario must be prevented, hence the effort to present Minsk as an imminent threat, because if Belarus can be cast once again as Russia's military accomplice rather than as a possible diplomatic channel, any US-Belarusian rapprochement becomes far harder to sustain. In such conditions, inflating a new military threat is politically useful, as it allows Zelensky to tell Ukrainians that the gravest crisis is still ahead and that he remains the horse that cannot be changed midstream. I think there's probably some truth to this idea that it's because there could have been some thawing of relations between Minsk and America, because I mean, all he would really have to do is as he's done here, is Zelensky just go to Macron and say, Lukashenko is making threats and we're worried that he's going to go to war against us. Macron then thrones up Zelensky and says, don't go to war against Ukraine, and then the headlines are all going to be talking about, you know, Belarus going to war against Ukraine, aren't they? And it does make sense.
Precisely. Precisely. I agree. I've made this argument before. The minute the war stops, Zelensky's in trouble. It's like Netanyahu. He has no purpose if the war stops. His whole connection to the West is based on warfare. Without it, they don't need him anymore. And he will be arrested by Russian or Belarusian commandos, and he should be. Sometimes I feel bad for the guy, even though he's a killer, only because he is out of his mind at this point. He was put in charge of something. He had no clue. And, you know, you never know. You know, Donald Trump is so erratic. He could do something like that. He could bring Lukashenko over. Lukashenko is very popular. He knows how to talk to people. And he may find a friend in Donald Trump. You never know. And Zelensky's terrified of this, so he has to constantly invent this stuff. The next thing may be nuclear weapons. Of course, there are nuclear weapons in Belarus, but he's just going to keep going until something is done. Either Washington simply says, "We're finished with you," the military takes over, or a Russia and a Belarusian team just gets rid of that whole bunch of oligarchs and arrests them all. I'm good with any of those. Something has to give anymore. You simply can't be slaughtering good Ukrainian boys like this. I am sick of dealing with this. The sheer loss of life, the dysgenic concept here of what could have been one of Europe's great success stories, which is Ukraine, being smashed and depopulated, is an outrage. And I hope the military does the right thing. Lukashenko never had any desire for war, but they are very well armed, and no one's going to attack them. But this concept of going to Washington, you know, Russia, I don't like the idea of being a conduit for American goods. Russia doesn't need American goods. Russia has its own goods, and China and India and everyone else. I don't like the idea of reestablishing relationships with the U.S. I think that's a terrible idea. But it's just the concept that he may have that ability, which terrifies this guy. Zelensky realizes he's in trouble militarily, politically, diplomatically. And spiritually, I mean, he's shut down God knows how many hundreds of churches. He's destroyed God knows how many political parties and groups in Ukraine. You know, he has a lot to answer for, this guy. And even the American media sometimes, you know, shows its exhaustion with him. The U.S. used to condemn. Remember when I first started the American Journal for Russian and Slavic Studies. Belarus was my number one topic. I mean, when John McCain was alive, the attacks on Lukashenko, but you never know. With a guy like Donald Trump, you'd never quite know.
Well, I think Trump would certainly get on with Lukashenko a lot better than he gets on with Zelensky. I mean, they're both sort of strongman type leaders, and that's certainly got to be a fear in Zelensky's mind. Finally, we've got a quote here. I think this one comes from you, Matt. It's from the 6th International Military Scientific Conference, Applied Aspects of Scientific Activity in the Field of Defense and National Security 2024. This is official Belarusian army doctrine. Poland, with the active support of the United States, is striving to become a regional leader in Eastern Europe. At the same time, the country's leadership, despite the declared defensive nature of its military policy, is actively pursuing a course of militarization of the state and enhancing the combat potential of the national armed forces. To this end, a systematic increase in military spending has been adopted. For example, in Poland, the defense budget amounted to 3% of GDP in 2023, up to 21 billion euros, while this year it has risen to 4%. Up to 28 billion euros, the highest figure among all NATO member states. Furthermore, the concept for the development of the Polish armed forces until 2031 places significant emphasis on increasing offensive potential in the northeastern regions. That is Belarus. So this is, I take it, this is Belarusian document saying what Poland is doing, and that Poland is going to be increasing its offensive potential right next to Belarus. So clearly Belarus is going to increase its defensive potential against Poland, I would have thought. Is that the point that you're trying to make here, Matt?
Yeah, I just added this. This is an army document concerning, you know, from the conference a couple of years ago, the war was still going on. This was official state doctrine when it came out. And there is this fear. And I see this remilitarization of Poland, like, you know, that's where they should be spending their money. There's a lot more they could be spending their money on. I see the exact same thing they used to do in Ukraine. Taking money out of needed areas and putting it to a navy and an air force that was destroyed on the ground on the first day. Poland has given so much of its stuff to Ukraine anyway, which is long vaporized. I have written, you know, there are a couple generals who want war, but I think the majority right now do not. But they are increasing military spending. And when they say the northeastern regions, that's Belarus, and they're talking about offensive. But I think that would be ludicrous from the Polish point of view. I don't see anyone in Poland wanting to become the next Ukraine, but it is a possibility. They would never get there's nothing left. They would never get the support like Ukraine got since 2022. There's nothing left to give them, especially now with the Israeli thing, and let alone Taiwan and other places. It would be a complete disaster. There was one general that I quoted in my book. We come up against battle-hardened Russian troops, our men are going to be gone. They're just going to be vaporized. You know, so NATO is, you know, ordering, you know, I think, you know, NATO is very much a paper tiger. They have, their equipment is very poor. The Russians have proven that. Russian equipment is far superior. Especially the German stuff is very, very disappointing, especially the Leopard tanks. But this is still the case. Poland, they may try to make Poland the next Ukraine, which shows you the obsession, the absurdity of the anti-Russian thing. It doesn't matter, as Lindsey Graham would say, so long as a couple more Russians are killed. And now that Ukraine has killed some kids, there's no one that's not going to, you know, want to fight at this point. If it came down to that. So I don't think anything's going to happen, but if it does, Poland will be in serious trouble.
Well, let's hope that Lukashenko manages to keep his cool head about him. I mean, he seems to be so far, and that he doesn't take the provocation, which clearly that bombing of the Belarusian school kids was. It was a provocation. And I don't think Lukashenko is going to allow himself to be provoked. Hopefully, he won't. Anyway, I'm sure we will revisit this at a later time. Thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.